Hey friends, welcome to Family Life Blended. I'm Ron Deal with Gayla Grace. Gayla, how are you today?
Hey Ron, I'm good. How are you?
Thanks for being with me today. To our listener, this is a special edition of the Family Life Blended podcast. We're in our studio here in Little Rock, and we are doing a You Ask, We Answer bonus session where we are answering your questions. Gayla, you may remember people have an opportunity to write in to us call in and leave a message. And well, we got overwhelmed with all of your questions, didn't?
Yes.
So we're going to take some time and crank out some bonus episodes of Family Life Blended and try to get through as many questions as we possibly can. We're joined with a special guest today. Kirk McGregor is with us. Kirk, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Kirk got his master's degree at Dallas Theological Seminary. He now consults with churches and lay leaders about blended family ministry. And just this past January, he and his wife, Lori, joined Family Life Blended as affiliate staff. They live in Dallas, Texas. Kirk, would you just tell our listeners real quick what affiliate status means?
Affiliate status means we are located outside of Little Rock, which is where you are. We are kind of consultants, just when Family Life has a need to connect with the local churches or local community, they reach out to affiliate staff.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we're glad to have you and your wife on board. So we're just going to spend some time together. One of the things people can do is submit questions through social media. And Kirk, you are one of the persons who responds to some of those just on a daily basis. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to toss some of those questions at you, and we're just going to talk through them.
Yes, let's go.
Okay, so number one, how do you navigate the discomfort? My husband feels around his teenage and preteen daughters. In other words, he's the stepdad around these young ladies that are growing up. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about being alone with them, this woman says, riding in the car, sitting too close. They're becoming beautiful young ladies, and he does not want to make them uncomfortable or put anyone in a position of accusation of any inappropriate behavior towards them. Yeah, Kirk, so what do you think about that?
I think it's commendable that he sees the physical development, but also just the maturity of the girls and wants to be kind and respectful towards his wife and his stepdaughters. The first thing I would recommend is to kind of set the pace with having them kind of initiate contact. Mm. And then when they do, to engage in contact. You want to build the relationship, again, at their pace, but you want them to feel comfortable and you want him to feel as comfortable as well.
You know, it occurs to me, Gayla, that dads with biological daughters sometimes get uncomfortable.
Right.
As their daughters become mm-hmm. young women.
Right.
And this passes through a biological dad's mind. I think appropriate and understandable for a stepdad to sort of go, wow, okay, I don't want anybody to ever think, you know, that I just don't have the best of intentions towards these girls. You had girls?
We did have girls.
Any awkwardness in your home?
Well, and you know what? That's what I was going to say, Ron. If we act awkward around them, then they're going to feel awkward. Mm-hmm. So I think it's okay to just let your guard down a little bit and help them understand this is a fatherly role that you have, mm-hmm. even as a stepdad. Mm-hmm. And my husband was pretty open with his words. I think he was more cautious physically. As Kurt said, you look at their cues and you watch that. But my girls are demonstrative with affection, and so he felt comfortable in doing the same. So mm-hmm. we've said it before, take cues from our stepkids, but don't make it awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wrote a lot about this in The Smart Stepdad. There's a whole chapter on awkward sexual topics with daughters and between couples and the children looking on, you're newly married. I think a lot of this, Kirk, it depends on when you come into a child's life. Mm-hmm. If she's 14, 15, 16, and boom, now you're a stepdad and you're walking in and she's that age, well, then affection is really awkward.
Right.
It's super strange. Mm-hmm. In this case, he's been in their life a few years. Now they're transitioning into becoming young women. And so he's thinking, well, I don't want anybody to, you know, misappropriate or, you know, all the crazy stuff people say about abusive stepdads. Obviously, that's sort of hanging in the background and he's a little you know, self-conscious about that. I like what both of you have said. I think you got to, you know, listen to their pace. What are they comfortable with? Go ahead and move forward. If you're acting weird, then it sort of gets weird. And at the same time, I think there's a space for maybe even an open conversation about, hey, just want you to know that I'm entirely comfortable with this. And are you comfortable with this? And we know other people are looking on and who knows what they have to say. Some people go, oh, we could never have that conversation out loud. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can. But it's at least a biological mom and stepdad conversation.
Right. And the other thing, just quickly, I would say is it is okay to have some rules for modesty within the home. Mm. And so that's something that mom can communicate to her daughters, that this is what's expected because there are men in this home. Maybe there's even a stepson there. You don't know. Mm-hmm. But we did have some rules for modesty in the home.
Yeah. Yeah. Good proactive tip there. Okay. Let's move on to another one.
Yeah, so the role of giving children some control and increased ability to make choices for themselves as they age. My daughters are 13, 11. We have a close relationship with them. Their dad is very involved in their lives as well. But he's remarried quickly, creating an uncomfortable situation for the girls, has made some changes in a small time frame, and they're unhappy when they're with him. They feel they have no input and are requesting more time with me and the ability to make decisions themselves on where they spend their time. What do you think about that, Kirk?
That's a really tough one. We're talking about ages that are very difficult for young adolescents, you know, 11 and 13, and they're still trying to navigate many different areas of the world. And it sounds like there could be lots of loyalty ties mm-hmm. to both sides of the family. It says that the dad is actively involved in their lives, so at least there's a great presence there. And it's possible that the dad is just having difficulty letting go and giving the autonomy to the children to be able to make some decisions. And that's hard from a parent mm-hmm. because you're running into, is this an age-appropriate decision? Am I able to give them the freedom to make this choice, or is there going to be repercussions? It's also mentioned that he remarried, so now there's another adult in the picture to consider. Maybe the stepmom is going to be actively involved transporting or engaging with the children, and he wants to kind of bring her presence in, and it's not just bio mom and bio dad.
Yeah,
that may complicate things as well.
You know, one of the things that hit me as I looked at this question was, I don't think we should solve all of our kids' problems for them.
Mm-hmm.
This is true with friends at school, or, you know, an issue with a teacher or something outside the home. If we take on responsibility for fixing those problems for our kids, they never learn how to do that. And I'm always leery of when one household says, okay, they want to spend more time with us, what you're helping the children do is avoid having to deal with dad or having to deal with something. Now, I'm not talking about extreme cases of abuse. We're not talking about that. You do want to step in if that's happening. But if you're the rescuer too much, then they don't ever have to deal with dad and try to figure out a way to navigate that relationship with their father, which is a very important relationship. You know, kids in biological homes get really upset with their parents, and parents get upset. I got upset with my kids, still do. Like, we don't have the ability to just say, nah, we don't have to deal with this because you can go somewhere else. No, proximity makes you deal with it. Mm-hmm. I sort of think we ought to encourage children to deal with what's going on.
I completely agree. Mm. And as Kirk said, I did also wonder, is there an underlying issue possibly with stepmom? Could we just ask some questions to try to get to the root issue? Is there more to this than really what we're being told? Mm-hmm. And so I think we just want to be attentive and inquisitive, but ultimately maybe put it back in their court a little bit to address.
Yeah, and maybe even coach them into, all right, mm-hmm. so when you go to dad's house, how are you going to deal with this?
Right.
Whatever that thing is. Let's talk through it. I mean, I feel like you can coach and prepare children, empower them, but they still didn't have to do the work. Mm-hmm. It's not you doing it for them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to another one.
Could I just have one more thing
sure.
to that?
Oh, sure. Jump in there.
I think also this is the age where young individuals really want to spend more time with friends. So I think what would be helpful is the biological mom affirm the dad and keep encouraging that relationship. Because part of the challenge might be that the girls don't feel comfortable. It's masked by, well, dad doesn't let us do or give us choice in making decisions. But it really is, I just want to hang out with my friends this weekend, but oh, guess what? I'm going to my dad's this weekend. The geography, the proximity could be exacerbating the pain that they feel because they're not spending time with friends or, you know, their social outlets are stunted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. Really explore what the problem is.
Right.
And that may help you make some decisions. But whenever possible, let kids own their own difficulties. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's a third one. How do you set boundaries, this person said, with an ex-spouse, especially one who has a history of verbal abuse towards you and who has ignored your boundaries in the past? We hear this one a lot
ministry. Oh, my goodness, yes.
And it's difficult. Mm-hmm. Basically, people are saying, you know, so how do I really think the big question here is, how do I get my ex-spouse to start being nice?
Or how do I control my ex-spouse?
Right. Which is really funny when you say it out loud because everybody knows you can't. But still, you're trying to figure out how to navigate this terrain, and that's a legitimate question. Kirk, what are your thoughts?
Gail, I hit it right on the head. It's you can only control and establish/enforce boundaries in your own house. You can hope for the best. You can certainly pray for the other party, but it doesn't mean it's going to fall into place. If it's possible, I would highly encourage parent meetings. Have opportunities to see where people can engage with one another, finding ways to see things, find a place of strength in both houses so that there is no competing interests, there's no hostile or awkward situations, and make sure that the children are feeling comfortable in both houses. So if the ex-spouse is feeling verbally abused or something, qualify that with the children. Get their perspective. Make sure that it's a safe environment. And then share those same thoughts with the ex-spouse. Hey, you know what? You hurt my feelings. But now the children are starting to say they're feeling this way. Can we have a conversation about it? And kind of qualify what's been going on instead of taking the old hurt feelings of the old relationship and bringing it into a different dynamic.
Yeah, the other thing I want to say about if there's a history of verbal abuse, perhaps even you include your current spouse. So for me, when we had parent meetings, I would bring Randy with me at times because it seemed like behavior just stayed on a more mature level for everybody. If we were in a public setting, have you ever noticed that people act more mature in public?
Absolutely. Not many people have fights in McDonald's.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so if you are anticipating that's going to happen, then have a meeting in a public place and even consider bringing your spouse. If that's an option, if it's going to make it harder, then don't. But yeah, just an option.
You know, this part about they've ignored my boundaries in the past, I do want to just say, check out your boundaries. More than once, I've consulted with people who go, boy, they just never abide by anything we ask. And, well, what are you asking? Well, we're asking that they do X and X. Well, that's really unrealistic. That's right. Not going to happen. You need to adjust your boundaries. So I'll just say that.
I agree.
But there's also this notion of, yeah, sometimes the other household doesn't give a rip. And you've asked them to do a decent thing if they're not breaking any violations with the custody or whatever. But still, they're just not considerate or reasonable. Those are hard situations. I think one of the things you do is you just go, you know what? We're going to act as if this doesn't fix it. It will not repair their behavior, but you can make life work based upon this expectation. And so you just do the best you can. And if they turn hostile in any given exchange, you can just say, I'm sorry, this is not working. Mm-hmm. Let's have a conversation tomorrow. I'll call you and you turn and walk away or you end the phone call or you don't have to just sit there and take it. So if it's really out of bounds, feel free to just call a stop to it. What you're doing is you're managing you in a case when you know they're not going to manage themselves very well. That's sort of the fallback best scenario you can come up with in some situations. Not easy. It's really hard stuff.
I agree. All right. How about number four? What role do I have with an adult stepdaughter who disregards the rules of the house, is a prodigal child, and my wife is not willing to enforce the rules in fear that she will lose her child. Mm. And a similar question to that one, how do I deal with a stepchild who has a foul mouth, constantly disrespects me and my child? There is a 10-plus age difference, and he only lives with us 50% of the time. Tough issues.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Here's one that when I was answering it, I was looking at different sides, and I think sometimes in communication, we just get it wrong. So for example, Lori and I will have conversations about things and we'll finish the conversation, but there's no resolution. But the fact that we talked about it, it seems that there's an assumption a resolution has been made. So in this case, just confirm with your spouse that, hey, do we agree on the boundaries that are in place? It could have been, for example, we could say, hey, could you clean up your room? What does that look like? To one person, it could be everything is spotless and neat. To another person, it's, you know, is the bed made so it doesn't look like they just got out of bed and ran off to the, you know, kitchen or whatever. Or, you know, qualify what you're agreeing to, but make sure that you both say, we're in agreement of this, and then you're able to enforce it. Because otherwise, if it's a step-parent, they're really walking that fine line of a negative interpretation for the stepchild, but also resentment and bitterness from the biological parent as they're trying to navigate the relationship. And of course, from the step-parent's perspective, they're going to say, well, bio-parent is being permissive. They're allowing their child to do whatever they want because they're fearful that they're going to lose their child to, you know, the other bio-parent or a different relationship. And therefore, they have to feel paralyzed and let the child kind of run the course of how things are going to be done. And that's also not helpful, especially if there are other children in the household.
Yep. Good word. I think in the case where a child is, you know, in this case, foul mouth and disrespecting you, you know, I think you can look at a child, even one that you don't have a strong relationship with, and say, I'm sorry, you can't talk to me that way. Mm-hmm. And unless that changes, I'm not going to engage you about whatever X, Y, or Z we were talking about. And just step away from that situation and letting things cool down a little bit, you know, go back and have a conversation with your spouse. You're hoping that they will be part of the solution here. But it's okay to say, I'm sorry, you can't talk to me that way. You don't have to just endure really, really hard, difficult situations. You may not feel much influence, but you don't have to endure, you know, disrespect in a very strong way.
Right. No, nobody in the home has to endure disrespect.
Right. Even if you're brand new on the scene. Now, the end game here is the marriage.
I agree.
Because the marriage is the thing that's going to empower the step-parent to be able to say, okay, let's do it this way, not that way, or to have a little bit of influence with the stepchild. So the ultimate answer is always the marriage. It is your spouse who empowers you to be a parent figure with your children. But if that biological parent just continuously refuses to follow through with any boundaries or consequences, you are in a tough situation. And I think sometimes step-parents need to do what I call politely resigning. Hey, if it's implied that you have responsibility here, but you have no power to be able to follow through on anything because the other parent undercuts you essentially by being paralyzed, then you just sort of resign in trying to have those responsibilities. But you have to do it politely. You can't be snide or sarcastic or full of criticism. It's got to be a, look, I know that you can follow through with this and I can't. So I'm going to let you get the kids to, you know, clean their room. And then just sort of not follow through. Drop that ball, let the other parent pick it up. The whole point here is if they're unwilling to follow through, then it doesn't become your job to fix what they are unwilling to do. So you just acknowledge that by saying, you know what, I can't, this is yours. You can decide what you're going to do and how you're going to follow through with your child. I think that's an important principle to make. Kirk, did you have any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think you and Laura Petherbridge handled that well in The Smart Stepmom, as far as just knowing where your influence lies and how it impacts the family and the marriage specifically. I would also add, with the foul language, I mean, that's pretty reasonable that people would come to a consensus on what's inappropriate and what's respectful language. So it's easier to come to an understanding of how to address that. But I would also, from the step-parent's perspective, share how it's impacting his child, his biological child that's there part of the time. And then share that's going to impact the co-parenting of his child with his former spouse or the bio mom. And maybe that will add some flavor, color to the understanding of the bio mom who's not disciplining the daughter, but at least give the understanding that it's not your child is bad. This is something we need to address. But more importantly, we also have to set the example for future generations, i.e. other children that come through the family, as to how we're going to respond to such actions and commentary.
Okay, good thoughts. Let's move on to another one. This is from a stepmom, and here's the scenario. When her husband was divorced, when his first wife left him, he found himself as a single dad trying to parent his children, and he had some other family members step in. His parents, I think a sister, they all started contributing to the parenting, if you will, of the kids. Well, over time, they sort of took over. And he was doing less and less, and they were doing more and more. Well, now he's married to this woman, a stepmom, and they're noticing that the extended family is still parenting the kids, still taking responsibility. So her question is, how can my husband reset this for both him and his kids and his family members? But at the same time, he doesn't want to cut off those close relationships with his family. He doesn't want to, disrespect them. So how does he go about doing this?
This was a tough one because it sounds like he became full-time dad and he was trying to balance work and life, and work was really taking up a lot of his time. So his family, as kind-hearted as it seems that they were, kind of came in and took over the role.
Yeah, it's pretty understandable that this happened, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, one of the things we recommend to single parents is that they get some help, right? have other people join you in the process. And so that's naturally what happened for this guy. But then it just went too far.
Yes. It certainly takes a village. But unfortunately, when the village kind of cramps out the actual biological bonds, then it's not really a family environment. I would certainly suggest the amount of time that the father is working. Is there a way that he could work from home or have a little more involvement so there's less dependence on the extended family to kind of take over the parenting role? You certainly don't want to cut out the relationships that have been there. The bonds have been growing with the children and the aunts, uncles, and grandparents. But you do want to have the husband and the stepmom in this situation get together, come up with some realistic and clear boundaries so they're able to develop an identity as a family. That's part of what I see here is that there's not much of an identity. The stepmom doesn't have the relationship or the influence, so she's kind of in the outsider role, and she's stuck trying to balance between, well, if I step in, am I now alienating myself from the extended family? Am I causing the stepchildren to not like me because they have the biological bonds to the extended family? So it's a really, really difficult position, but I would say come back to the center. You're married. The marriage is the priority, but then from there, it spills out over to the children. Have the husband and the wife set the boundaries and then start to implement them. However, do it at a pace that's not completely shutting off the other members that have been so kind to step in and help out, and give them some opportunities to maintain those relationships. Maybe it's a grandmother picks the kids up from school or something like that. That's not that intrusive and can still maintain those relationships as they go.
Yeah, and I would also say, be sure that you express gratitude for what they've done. So as you're wanting to help them understand you're still very thankful for what they've done, and you feel you're in a different position now, though, and you want to step back into a role that is more involved. But the gratitude piece, I think, can really help maintain those relationships.
Yeah, that's huge. I think in the past when I've worked with people who get stuck in these situations, it's because they're so afraid of hurting grandma and grandpa's feelings. And so they just don't ever want to say, please stop doing that. I say to people, look, transitions are really awesome opportunities to also change the boundaries around how you work together and how you be family. Mm-hmm. And so you go to them and use the transition. Hey, look, you have been awesome through these single parent years. I couldn't have done it. The kids, we're so blessed because of all that you've done. Now I'm married. I'm making space for my wife. We're trying to figure out our new harmony. You would really help us out at this season of our life by, like Kirk said, taking the kids to school, but not picking up. You know, that's something we need to start to do. You used to do this. Now I'm going to start doing that. Thank you so much. We love and respect you for this. Here's how you can serve us now. So the message is you can keep serving and loving and helping with the kids. We just want you to do it this way, right. Not that way.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I do think that's showing honor.
Right. I agree. All right. Just a couple of more. So I just finished listening to your podcast with Mary Jepson. That is podcast number 69 for those interested in regards to co-parenting. Can you point me in the direction of co-parenting with a father that has narcissistic traits? We are 8 years post-divorce. Any resources to help these kids? They just want to live with mom, and it's 50-50 currently. How do I make a safe home for them? What do I say when they want to run away from dad's and go to mom's?
This is tough. There's lots of things to unpack here. Mm. The fact that it's 50-50, clearly a court or somebody of authority has said the dad is a eligible and or important factor to give mm-hmm. them 50-50 custody relationship. So even if there's narcissistic tendencies or traits, I think often we have some past feelings that might lead us to feel that way about an ex. I mean, that's probably why they call them exes.
Yep.
but it's important to remember that if the court deems that it's still appropriate for the children to be involved in both the biological parents' lives, then honor the court. They're the ones making the decision.
You don't want to get on the wrong side of the court, for sure.
Right. And certainly when it comes to wanting to run away from dad to moms, as I said earlier, I think a lot of times it might be an age thing. It might be a social factor. They just have more friends where their mom is compared to their dad. And that plays a huge part. I currently deal that with my biological children. At times, they don't want to have as much to do over here. They kind of lock themselves in the rooms. This is a 14-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy. It's a tough season of life. And so you do want to give them space. You certainly want to listen to what they have to say. But you also have to acknowledge that the parents still want to be involved with the children's lives. Affirm that. I mean, that right there can help alleviate some of the loyalty conflicts that the child might be feeling but having difficulty articulating, because those are the things that after a while the children are not going to ask for clarification. Well, what did you mean by that? And you know, one of the aspects there is be very cautious with what you say and how you say it. In a podcast, I believe it was number 6, Helen Wheeler had shared in a therapy session that she had that a parent's response was, I just want the children to feel safe when they're at my house. And while that's a very honorable and good thing and an important thing, you're not understanding what you're communicating about the other household. And mm-hmm. if the child hears that, they can easily internalize that. And they're most likely not going to ask, is dad's house not safe? They're just going to assume mom just said, dad's house is not safe, or made that insinuation, and therefore, well, mom is an important authority figure in my life. I'm going to listen to mom and never qualify or mention it to dad, and now the child's stuck with the loyalty bond and an accidental parent alienation when the parent was trying to just affirm their household because that's all they can control, per se.
Those are delicate, aren't they?
Yes, it ends up potentially disparaging the other house, even though right. it wasn't overtly stated.
Yeah, I'm going back to what we answered in one of the earlier questions, Gayla, what you said. She says, what do I do when they want to run away from dad's and just come to our house? Well, you ask questions. You engage them around what's the problem, what's going on. You try to get to the bottom of it, and then you try to empower them to deal with it. And be careful of labels. I just want to say that. Be careful of labels. people toss around terms like narcissistic and we don't even know what it means. And traits is different than personality disorder. All of a sudden you've got somebody freeze-framed a certain way and you put everything into that category, and that's not fair to them. They're still a parent. They still love their kids. They still have a relationship, and the kids need a relationship with them. We should encourage them to try to figure out how to have that relationship. Let's do one more. And this one's just sort of a good, I think, legal question. Can a co-parent tell the other parent that they're not allowed to take their children to a certain church that you're going to, or that you're not allowed to have the children around a girlfriend, somebody you may be dating? So can one parent tell the other parent, no, you can't do that. Don't take the kids to your church. Don't expose them to your boyfriend or girlfriend.
The answer is yes, they absolutely can do that. Mm-hmm. However, the other parent doesn't have to abide by it. So we can say a lot of what's on our mind, but that doesn't mean that the other parent is legally obligated to do so. However, with that phrase, legally obligated, if there's something in the decree or some sort of document that specifically states something cannot be done or must be done, mm-hmm. you need to adhere to that. However, right. I don't know of any that say you have to honor or follow a specific faith-based religion or something of that nature. And then mm-hmm. obviously when it comes to other adults, this is important. You do want to tread cautiously when you're introducing adults to children mm-hmm. Because those relationships bond. And then if something happens with that relationship, if there's a divorce or they break up or something, now the child has another adult that they started to bond with that they're not continuing that relationship with. So you do want to be cautious with that. But I don't know of documents, unless they're explicitly stated by the courts, that say you can or cannot introduce certain people. You know, maybe if there's a concern, like a sex offender or something, that's a different story. But again, that's a completely different can of worms from the simple, can I introduce or keep my boyfriend, girlfriend around children?
Yeah. This goes two ways, Gayla, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You can't assert that on them. They can't assert that on you.
Right.
I often say to people who say these things to the other household, do you want them making those sort of demands on you? You know, be careful what you insist on. Just know everybody has their autonomy and can, you know, as long as it's not extreme, or there's something already in the parental agreement that would exclude that. They can do what they want.
Yeah, and you know, Ron, I love Romans 12:18. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So what part do we play in trying to live at peace? Mm-hmm. And that's really the only thing we can ultimately control.
Well, Kirk, we appreciate you being with us today. Again, to the listener, this has been a bonus episode of the Family Life Blended podcast. If you haven't subscribed to our podcast, you can certainly do that on your favorite podcast app. You can also listen on YouTube, or you can download the Family Life app and listen through that. If you're not familiar with Family Life Blended, we just want you to know we're the largest blended family nonprofit ministry in the country. We'd love to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. So check us out. Audio, video, book, virtual, and live conferences. You can find it all at familylife.com/blended. For Gayla Grace, I'm Ron Deal. Thanks for being with us.